is an interview with Dora Mattis and Carolyn Reinhart. On March 25th, 1990, this was taken by Carrie White.
And we had to walk. There weren't any buses back in the 1900s. We had to walk. And it was a country school, and when I graduated from 8th grade in 1924, I decided to go to high school. And I was the first one from that whole country school to go to high school. And I had to walk then from where I lived in the viaduct all the way into Dundee. No buses. I finally got a ride with somebody that came from Ida, and I rode and paid them to ride. And then before that, I used to hitch a ride with a milk truck. A milk truck came by. We always put out our milk on the stand. He didn't always pick up ours, but he came by and had one of these big tanks on the back, and I'd ride in with him. That was so noisy we could hardly talk while we were sitting. And that's how I went to high school.
Where in high school at?
Dundee.
Is it still there?
No, it burned down right after I graduated. And so then they had to build a new one. It was an old one. And let's see, then I went to college and decided I'd go to college. And so I did some. Didn't have any money and worked for my board. And had to work for my board and did more work than a maid would do in a home. And had to pay $4 for my room. Decided. And that was in 1928. Of course, then the depression came in 29, I think it was. And so it was really hard.
What did you study?
Well, I took Latin and history. I did a Latin history teaching. So we could go and get our life certificate in 3 years. And I couldn't get a job. I had one interview even. Because people were hanging on to their jobs if they had one. So they weren't really open to teachers. So I borrowed money and stayed on my fourth year and got my bachelor's degree. That was in 1932. Still couldn't get a job. I didn't get a job for 2 years teaching. Went to Monroe and worked in the Methodist parsonage for $4 a week. That's what I had.
Oh my gosh.
And didn't even stay nights or have my breakfast.
You still live at home with Grandma?
And I lived at home. We bought a home on 6th Street, which we lost later because my dad lost his job. We didn't have any money. We lost the home that we were paying on. And then we rented for a while until we bought the house where I'm still living in. My dad paid $3,800 back in 1938, this was. And things were still, you know, cheaper. But after I worked in the parsonage for a while, I got a job in Weissel's drugstore. And finally, the government made it so I got $14 a week. And Weissel's drugstore had a soda fountain, and they had some tables, and we also served lunch. And then I tried to get a job in a rural school, just anything. After 2 years, I thought I had to get something. I went to all the schools around here. Couldn't get anything. And finally, this little school, Pony School, west on Dunbar Road, yet, all Cass Lewis. And the three men came into the drugstore and hired me right there in the drugstore. I had to work in the drugstore. I got $60 a month. For a 9-month school, that means I made $540 a year. And because it was that far out, I had to buy a car and learn to drive that summer.
Could you live on that amount right there?
We did. I mean, I lived at home, you know.
So that was, a good wage or?
Well, some places got more than that. But that was about what they got. Captain Flood got one too out in the vaults, and she didn't get much more than that either. Mm-hmm. So then I got up, I stayed there 3 years. I got to $80 a month. And then in 1937, I got a job in Monroe for $13.50 a year, which was almost double what I was getting out.
Wow.
And when I look at papers that I'm working with in the museum now, those 1930 papers, even 1939, the prices that are listed, of course, you didn't get much for wages either, but you could get a 25-pound sack of sugar I just saw the other day, cheaper than you can now buy 5 pounds of sugar. I mean, the prices. And when I went to college, I didn't have any money, and you could buy in the little Kroger store that was near campus 3 candy bars for a dime.
For a dime?
For a dime. And once in a while, I'd have so I could spend a dime for those 3 candy bars. And once in a great while, I got a Marcel, got my hair done, and that was 50 cents. And I had pretty long hair. So, that was, so when I hear about people not getting a job right away or not making much money, I think, oh my, I didn't either. You know,
mm-hmm.
things were, we just didn't get much. And like I said, we lost the first home we bought in Monroe. And then bought this other one. Of course, we had to put in a new furnace, we had to put on a new roof, we had to remodel a kitchen. There was no kitchen like that. We did a lot of things done to it. But today, it's probably worth $50,000.
Yeah. Where'd you work, Grandma? What was your first job?
Well, we're beaners. I went to business college. I started in September, and in March I got this job down at East Chester Street. And I guess I made about, $10 a week, but I paid $8 a week maybe. I paid Hazelback $5 a week, and made around $3 a week. So I didn't have anything left. But Hazel put me through business college, so I paid her $5 a week. I worked there a month. Then I went down to Sam Morris's lumber yard. Just go there. And I don't know what it is, but I got there. I worked 7 to 10 and then 12 to 5. And I worked there from April to the next February. And then I got a job at the telephone company. And I couldn't have gotten in there except Hazel was working there and she was going to quit. Because I had two sisters. Hazel worked there, and they wouldn't hire another sister. But then Hazel was leaving, so they hired me.
And they
were such good telephone operators that they thought I'd be able to help them out.
That's why she quit, because she was going to get married. They were not married when they
Oh, no.
There were a lot of married women working there.
They were the teachers, couldn't
they? At Detroit Edison. They worked at the office at Detroit Edison. They didn't work after we got married. So that was in 1940, and I worked there from July until September 1942. And then I got married in Georgia. Came back, had Carla. Then when Carla was 2 years old, I went back to the telephone company and worked there till August when Carla came home.
What do you guys remember about the minority groups or the blacks? Did you guys even work with any of those, or what was it like? Was it different than that?
There was one black graduated with me in class in 1938, and her dad was a preacher. And I remember some of the other colored kids, they wouldn't get off the sidewalk for me. I had to get off the sidewalk for them.
You know, I don't remember too much. I remember in Ypsilanti, in a gym class, we had maybe, I can only remember the one black girl. And nobody else, and we were supposed to take hands, would take her hand, and so I usually had her. But when we went to country school, we had a colored family and kids then, and I even was in grade school. A colored family lived and had to walk a lot farther than I did. Yeah. Their name was Coopers.
You think they were treated, they noticed they were treated differently?
They weren't, those weren't that I knew of. Mm-hmm. In fact, that one girl, I think it was Emma Cooper, who married a white man. But otherwise, I mean, we never had many black teachers in Monroe all the 38 years I taught there. I mean, just a few, we never had very many. But somebody said, well, they just don't apply for the job. It isn't that they're turned down or anything, they just aren't applying for it. So most of the colored that had gone to college in Monroe left Monroe.
What were the roles of women like? I mean, was it a lot different from the day? How were they treated?
Well, like we said, a person couldn't be married and teach in Monroe, so a few of them, if they got married, they never told it. And then they couldn't smoke either. If they were caught smoking, they'd be fired on the spot for a long time.
Yeah.
And they got less money.
Mm-hmm.
Women teachers got at least $200 less than men.
Oh my God. Do you guys remember when the first cars came? First
voted. She was just talking about that a while ago. She said, you remember when you used to have to go to church in a horse and buggy? And I said, no. Because I think my dad had a car already when I must have been 6 years older before. And we lived there on Lewis Avenue yet when I was just little. We had a car. I don't really remember a horse and buggy. I can remember riding in Grandpa Creeper's buggy, and he'd make the horses go real fast, and I just thought they were running away, and we were scared because we weren't used to it. But we had this old, I guess it was an old Chevy, and the side curtains on, and then the isinglass would break out, and so we patched them up with cloth, so if you had to put them on, you couldn't see a blame thing if you were in the back seat. And she was telling you had to crank them, you know. Mm-hmm. And my daddy'd get me behind the wheel, and he'd say, pull it, give it more spark, give it more this, you know, while he was there cranking the thing. And so I can just remember these old cars. The first car I bought when I taught was a Model A.
Oh, you
heard of your Model T. Well, uh-huh. This was a Model A with a rumble seat. And after we taught a while, we took a trip, Ray and Catherine, they weren't married then, and Dirk and I went clear to Washington, D.C., and my dad took the car to a blacksmith shop and fixed the rigging on the back and put a canvas over so two of us could sit in the rumble seat and have a cover on. And we got the cover up, and of course it rained, it was horrible. And we took that trip, came clear around through them, through Virginia, through Niagara Falls, and all with that Model T. But you had to have a car like that because the roads were so muddy that the ruts were so deep that unless you had a car that was up higher, you could never get through. And I had to stay out some of the time because I just couldn't drive that. I had to stay, you know. Then Uncle Herman lived on South Custer Road and had his kids in school. So sometimes I'd drive out to his place and then he'd drive us in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had quite a few cousins and second cousins and all my children. And I had a pretty easy school. I only had 22 kids. And when I went to country school, we had one in the 40s, one teacher. Wow. And he used to come. He taught the one teacher I had for 7th and 8th grade, and it was just 8th grade, because the teacher that Grandma and my mother had in school, he had taught there then. And he was back, and he lived west of Dundee, and he used to come in on a horse and buggy. And he'd make that horse go, but by the time the horse got there to school, it was just in a lather.
Oh,
he was a meanie. And he came to the house one time, and my mother told him, if Dora graduates from 8th grade and she can go on to high school, it won't be because anything you taught her. It was what she taught herself. Can you just hear Grandma
yeah.
talking? It embarrassed me half to death. And then after I was teaching, I was asked to give a talk at a teacher's meeting in Dundee one time. It was about workbooks, about spelling, I guess it was workbooks or something. And I looked down in the audience and here sits this teacher. He wasn't mm-hmm. even teaching anymore, and Scott Jackson was sitting there in the audience.
I think Mama said if he was still there where I went, she wouldn't send me.
Oh, he was not. No, well, I won't blame him.
I had this odor, and she was so nice. And when the days were bad, she'd get all the little kids, and she'd say, I'm the mother then, and we're all the little kids.
Well, I had that Sadie Kenyon that we always thought was nice, too. And she just died a couple years ago. In fact, my first teacher I had in Bridge School was where I first went to school, which is considered the oldest school, I think, in Michigan or something. It was a two-room school, but we didn't use it. We didn't have two teachers when I went. So on rainy days, we could use that one other. It was more like a gym, a place we could play games and do things in. But he just died last year. He was my first grade teacher.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
But you know, they could go, you didn't have to go very long to teach in country school. This is what you could just go and take like a summer course and you could teach. So probably when I was 6, he was probably 18. But even so, I mean, he was walking 80-something when he died, but he was still
at school.
So I had those two teachers. Sadie Kenyon was still living, and I think Ruby Austin was living just the other year, but not around here. Three of my teachers were still living just a couple years ago. Oh, I had high school teachers that were still living too. But
I know.
No. Mm-hmm.
my arm getting up there, and so somebody else said, well, that's not amazing.
What do you guys remember about the Depression? What did you do when you first came?
I don't know. See, there wasn't anything like television. We didn't hear anything about it. I can't remember too much. See, I was in college, and I know I was having a rough time. I couldn't buy... I didn't have any money for anything. I never came home very often because I didn't have the money for the bus. And anyway, the bus didn't come all the way to Monroe. I could only get to Ida Corners. And I could get off. There was a little store on the corner there, and I could get off there. Or I could get off at Uncle Herman's, and somebody had to manage someone from Monroe to pick me up. So I never came home very often. And I just know it was rough for everybody. Like I said, we had bought the house in 1928 when we moved from Dundee to Monroe, lost that. We had paid, and I even then was making a little money, and I can remember going yet, and I paid $100. I knew we were behind a lot, but I thought, well, that was an attempt that looked like we were trying to pay up, and they just closed, took it anyway. And I was often there to people struggling for a long, long time. I was willing to do it. I thought when they could see I was making $60 a month in this time, that was when Grandpa wasn't around either, you know. And Grandma went, she took in washing, she cleaned, and she finally got a job at the cafeteria in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a little store on Wadsworth Street, and I can remember the name was Mr. Luce, and we ran up a grocery bill over $100, and when you think, you know, things were so much cheaper then, and he did that for a lot of people. I don't know how he could do it, but we finally paid the bill off. Mm-hmm. But you just didn't have any money.
They rationed food? How did they do that?
That was later. That was really during the war when they started rationing. I think we had the ration books.
Oh,
you know, your gas was rationed. You couldn't get nylon hose, stockings. I can remember people, I'd go over to Toledo. We used to go on by bus, and we'd get in line any place where it looked like they were getting in line for something. Get in line and see what it was going to be. And I can remember one teacher in Monroe. She got in line. By the time she got up there, the size of the stocking she wanted, they didn't have, but she just took some anyway, thinking somebody could use it.
And nylons then,
were they? Well, they were silk. And I can remember, too, I'd get off work at school and dash to one of the grocery stores. And yet, I think it was called Packers over in North Monroe Street. And I'd go over there and get in line at the grocery counter and get some kind of little meat that they had.
We used to save our old grease and take it to the butcher shops. And they must have used that to make something for the war.
Packed it up and sent it for some. I don't even remember that. Because I wasn't home. See, I don't even remember much about her grace.
You were home.
It was during the Second World War. I don't know. I didn't remember. I lived on the Pleasants. But we used it. But I don't remember much about her grade school because she was in, what, third grade when I was in college. She was in third, fourth, fifth, sixth grade.
She didn't know me.
Well, I really didn't too much. I'd see her in the summer, and even then I'd come home and I still work, you know, after I was teaching, and I still work for my wife's or someplace.
You work for Mrs. Brown?
I worked for Mrs. Brown. That was when I first came in and went to high school at all. And then I did, I guess, when I came home in the summer too. First year, so. And didn't get much money either. So, I don't remember too much. You didn't buy much of anything. Everything was rationed.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember having to work at school. We had the school teachers. You had to be there. Had the people come in. We had to fill out these books and do all that with the rationing. And then you had, what was it? You had to get gas. And some people, I remember one teacher we had, her dad lived in Nebraska, and he had a store and a butcher shop, and he would send, through the mail, he sent her sausage. I don't know why you think it was quail before it came down. But they did, things like that, because it was so hard to get. And you trade with somebody if you didn't need all your gas stamps or thing for something else. Either you needed shoes or whatever. Put sugar in the coffee cartridge.
Why would that have?
I don't know, it just didn't damage. You couldn't get sugar. It wasn't good sugar either. It wasn't really refined. Remember what else was all around you? Did you stop
dancing?
Oh, yes, I remember. Yeah.
I remember.
No, then I don't remember.
They didn't make cars then.
They just made it all for the war, didn't they? Everything, all that kind of stuff for the war. Because then the factories turned into for airplanes.
Mm-hmm. A lot of that's when the women first started looking at them.
What do you remember about first moving pictures or the entertainment thing?
I can remember the first thing I saw was Al Jolson. He got down there with his white mittens on and we cried with him too.
Well,
and I can remember in the Depression too, you didn't have any money, and I think it only cost 10 cents to go to a movie, some little amount. And I can remember Ray and some of us, we would stand on the outside of the movie. And if you stood out there, you could see a little bit of the picture sometimes. You didn't even have money to even go to the movie. We didn't do anything much.
But, you know, during those bad years, depression stuff, we had music and art in school. And then my youngest child, he could only go a half day to school, and he never got gym, he never got music, he never got art.
American? That's because it was too crowded and we had to put them on half day though.
Well, that's different now, then. But the teachers didn't make that much money then. Well, now teachers are making a lot of money.
Well, and teachers then had to do a lot more. You didn't have like a union, and if you were told to do something, you did it. I mean, we had to do a lot more than just teach. When I taught at boys' school, there first, we had so many, because these other schools weren't built, so we had children that came in from bus, clear down North Custer Road, down Telegraph Road, down South Custer Road, and we had all these buses, and you had to come early in the morning, because the buses came early, and you had bus duty, and so you had to go out on the playground with them until it was time for school to start. It was a rainy day, you kept them down in the basement or in the gym until it was time for school, and you went from that howling mass of kids up to your room, and you just got up there when they got there. Then they had to stay for lunch, and you had two rooms in the basement filled, and you stayed there with lunch. And after they ate their lunch, you took them out on the playground and stayed with them, or if it rained, you took them into the gym and let them play stuff in the gym. And you'd have a duty like that all week, and at night, you had to wait till the bus came to put them on the bus. If the bus broke down and it was late, you might be there at 5 o'clock with them. And this was extra. We got no extra pay anywhere. Nothing at all. We had to do a lot more than they do now. Now they don't have to go out on the playground. They don't have to. And we had a lot of things like that. And we didn't fight it because, like I said, I didn't get a job for a couple of years. And you wanted your job.
Mm-hmm.
And so you did all this extra that now they get paid for every little bit of it or fight it.
Person,
like you say, I think the teacher, I think the top teacher now must get over 40,000.
That much?
Mm-hmm. I think if I would be teaching, I would get at least that now.
That's only for 9 months, too.
Uh-oh, it's 10 months school in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's considered 10 months.
But then you get a week off.
But I say they get, you get their, your vacation. It's you get that salary for 180 days.
When did they start having school buses?
I just can't remember even, but I know all the way I was through high school there were no buses. I don't really know either when that started about buses, but it was after that sometime. Must have been way in the 50s maybe, I don't know. But not as many people went to school. You see, when I graduated from Dundee High School, there were 19 of us when we graduated.
There were?
That I
even went to Dundee?
No, Basil graduated from Dundee. We had moved, as it were. We moved right after I graduated. I graduated in June of 28, and we moved that summer to Monroe. And Hazel would have gone on to college. If I'd have got a job right away, I would have had enough money. But, you know, Pedro, she could have had a scholarship, but there wasn't any. We didn't have the money to send her.
There wasn't that many scholarships given away.
No, I never heard of scholarships when I was in high school. Hazel was going to join, and she couldn't go to college. She said she didn't know what the college was doing. You know, see, they know what I had to go through. I didn't. When people talk about the fun you have in college, I didn't have time to do any of that. I didn't do anything. I mean, I went to a few ball games, but otherwise I had to study and I had to come home and work, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't regret that I did it. I mean, it turned out all right afterwards. I made pretty good money. But when I retired in 72, I was going to pay a few taxes. And today now, with a master's degree, you get at least 40. I mean, the starting salary today is more than I got when I quit after teaching 38 years. So prices, I mean, have gone up. But everything else has too. You know, but I really don't think, and I've said this all along, I don't think teachers have anything to complain about. When I figure how many days they put in, of course, I always worked a lot of hours extra, and a lot of teachers do. You take papers home to correct, and you have to write report cards, and you have to do all this, too. And I used to, like I say, when I did the first years, I had a lot more to do. But I think that's pretty good for that myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
well, most of them, that they're married, they both work, and so they get $80 in a year.
And we end up, and our retirement system is good. I mean, a teacher's retirement system is really good. So really, and right now we've even got now, so we even have dental and vision that just got this year. And hearing too. And only cost me $1.32 a month, so we should not to. So that, I mean, we have a lot of good things going for us. We get quite a bit more in our teacher's retirement check than we do on Social Security. So it's a good deal. So with the two, you know, I don't have any trouble living in that yet.
Yeah,
I don't use it. You know, but I say, well, I went through quite a few years of having a real rough time, and things turned out pretty good.
Was it scary?
Teach?
No, like the depression, not knowing if you were going to school?
Oh, sure. And if you were, like I was the oldest one, and I worried. Because I could see, like I say, Grandpa wasn't well then, and I could see how hard my mother was trying to do, and I thought I should try to help him. And you couldn't. I mean, I didn't have any money either. And I worried about the whole thing. But, she probably didn't. She didn't know enough to do that yet. But see, I was the oldest, and I kind of always took things pretty seriously anyway. I just figured that thing.
The great-grandma ever talk about when she first came over in Germany? Did she call her a boat or something?
That would be my grandma, dear.
Right.
My dad's mother came over. And her mother spoke, but your grandma, great-grandma would be, she was born in Ohio. And then to Michigan when she was just really little. No, it's just my grandparents all came from Germany. And I don't know too much about it, really. A lot of them, I think Grandma Mattis came over to work as in a health school, you know, like a maid. I think that's what she first did. And all her brothers and sisters evidently came over, and I don't really know. I never heard about her mother or father, whatever happened to them. All her brothers and sisters, and there were a lot of them, they either settled around Ida or around Sandusky, Ohio. A few of them, but I don't know. I don't think so, but, you know, I was only 13 when she died, and I never questioned her about some of that. Now I'd like to know, you know, whatever happened to her mother.
People can talk.
Well,
people can talk to them about stuff.
And Grandpa Madison's mother came over after. And I think she's buried out there where they are out in that cemetery. She came over after her husband died. He was still on it. She only had two children. They were both here. So this grandpa and the girl. The Bouchers, we called her.
And she came over later?
It's the first time she came.
As far as I know. That's the way I understand it.
Yeah, and it took so long, then, you know, like 6 months, I guess, or something to come. And of course, they all came. This is what I'd like to, they say you can check this, but I just never tried. They probably came to Elf Isle, like the Carabao, you know, some of
But anyway, I remember the man that owned the place, they called him Black Mike, and he was Italian. He used to come in our store too, and he was really dressed up like you heard about the bootleggers, you know, how they really had the money, and he wore the clothes, and he'd come and buy these big expensive cigars and stuff, and people had a code, or they'd knock on the door, and then they would be let in, and sort of thing, with their liquor, and a lot of them made good money smuggling in liquor on the boats, you know, like, speakeasies, you know, speakeasies, they called them. And they'd have like a window of that so they could see who it was and who they were admitting and so on. But otherwise, I don't remember much about it, but the point was that you weren't supposed to have liquor. And it's just like they say, anything you outlaw like that, then it goes underground or it does something and they have it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So when they talk about some people want to legalize drugs, you know, because then they say maybe then it would be easier to get, it would stop somewhere at least. You wouldn't have these people making this huge money. But, you know, you hate to do that to them. But you know, I just forget a lot of this. Like, I'll hear people talk about World War I. What were you doing the day they said the war was over? And I don't remember.
See, you were only eight.
I know, but World War II even. I don't remember much. It seems to me I can remember going out on the front porch because I could hear people were making a lot of noise and shouting
the
and
church
bells and I
Japan's
I think I can remember something like that. Of course, I can remember without television and all that, you'd have papers and boys would come by, extra, extra, read all about it.
Grandma, you remember a lot of it because Grandpa was on
the But, I mean, you know, you wrote to them and you tried to send them cookies or something. And that, but, and you know, you listen and hope nothing happened. You hear about this awful thing that happened someplace or other. But, you know, you're not in it. Those people that were right there in the war, they're the ones that really can remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to go and bomb shelters and do all that. They didn't go through everything. I don't know. I don't know why I don't remember a lot of details like that about it. Some people do. They can say what they were doing, what it was. And I don't know.
President Roosevelt, he would give those fireside chats in the radio.
Mm-hmm. He just talked about things like now the president comes out to talk, but his were called the fireside chat that was sort of the beginning of the president doing that. Because I can remember when we got our first radio.
Oh, yeah?
When we lived on the farm yet, you see, until we moved into Dundee, it must have been 1927, something like that. We didn't even have electricity out on South Custer Road. It hadn't reached us yet. And I can remember when South Custer Road was paved. It was always just a mud road. We were living there when they paved South Custer Road. And of course, we lived there when they put that railroad through too, and we had to move our house. And
that's in Dundee.
Mm-hmm. And that one that goes across the Custer on the way to Dundee. We lived there in the railroad would have come right through our house, and so we moved it where it's standing now. And
when we moved into Dundee, then we got a radio. It was a battery-operated radio. And that little cabinet I had in the kitchen, mm-hmm. up against the wall, that was our radio cabinet. And so your big batteries, the big, you see, you had big batteries, and that was down in the bottom part. And Grandpa turned that into that little cabinet, like when I had the dishes in it. It raised up the top, and we used to sit there and see what stations we could get and listen to this battery operated radio. That was our first.
Because you didn't have a
telephone. Oh, yes, no, I can't.
So that was your entertainment?
Sure. There weren't any televisions in it. I mean, I think they were making them, but, you know, just the ordinary people and nobody could. Because like I say, we didn't even have a battery operated ones, and we had electricity then, but, you know, didn't they have that kind yet? Because ours was just a battery, I know that.
I didn't know that.
And when I remember one program we used to listen to, it was a kind of a southern program. It was called Kincaid.
Bradley Kincaid.
Bradley Kincaid. And he sang these hillbilly-like songs, you know.
And it is.
Yeah, and yeah, well, that was one of the programs I can remember. And then when I was in college, it was always Amos and Andy. They always listened. His granddad always had him on Amos and Andy. Yeah, and that's when I first got listening to the Tigers play baseball, too, when I was there, and they had, you know, a bigger room. There was no television when I was in college, and we'd listen to some of these programs, and that was it. I did go to a few movies when I was there, but, well, my memory isn't very good.
What were the holidays like? Christmas, the 4th of July, how was that like at home?
A little girl. We didn't have lunch. I mean, I remember when I was real little, we had a parlor and a sitting room thing, always. And so the parlor wasn't one we used very much, and so our tree was put up in that, and we didn't get to see it. They usually put the tree up on Christmas Eve after we were to bed. You know, we wouldn't see it until Christmas Day. And it had just candles, regular candles.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember in church, too, we had this big, big tree, reached almost up to the ceiling, and it had regular candles on it that time. And there were two or three men standing with long poles that had something wrapped on the end that was wet, and they'd have to watch. So when these candles had burned down, they had to snuff them out so there wouldn't be a fire. And I can remember sitting there watching, thinking, they've got to get that one pretty soon, they've got to get that one pretty soon. And, then we go to church Christmas Eve, and it was always so nice if it was snow, we'd come out and it'd snow, and that was just perfect. And we'd come home, and then maybe, seems to me then there were presents then that they probably put out, you know, and so when we came home, there it was in the closet and left it. But we never got very much or anything. I can remember once, and nobody else remembers, and I say, when I do remember something, it's so stupid little thing. I can remember getting one time a pretty little dustpan. It was the prettiest blue that ever was. A little play dustpan. But I did have a pretty doll, and I don't remember it much, but I have that picture that I had by my bed upstairs when I was little. I'm holding the doll. It was one of those nice ones you pay a lot for if you had it now, but Mother told me that I just took it and just whacked it and broke it. I can't imagine me doing anything like that, but that's what she tells me. I'd love to have that doll now because uh-huh. it was such a nice one. But we always had dolls and blocks and some kind of games. Wiggy. Mm-hmm. Oh, we had Glinch later. It was a late Glinch.
And Mama
used to play the string. You know, we made that cat's cradle. And then we had another game, and I can't think of the name of it. You drew it on a pasteboard, and you played with buttons, but it was a German-type name, and I don't know what it was. It wasn't Shetland or that. It had a different name that you just could draw and make it and play it. Of course, we had checkers, and we had an old organ that we took lessons on.
We used to take a bath only on Saturday night and wash up behind the stove, behind the kitchen stove.
The kitchen's never had cupboards.
No, we had a pantry. We always had a pantry and a washroom. So your kitchen was here. That had your stove and your table and chairs and so on. And then you had the pantry that had like a kitchen cabinet. And then we had another wall that had cupboards. And then in the washroom, you had your washing machine and you had your sink. That's where you wash it at the pump. And then you take a bath behind the kitchen stove Saturday night. It was bath night. Like somebody said, whether you needed it or not.
Well,
and you had to wear those long underwear.
and you didn't
change them every day either. And so you'd have these long underwear, and when they would crash and you put them on, they were snug around the ankles. So then by the second or third day, or however long you wore them, they got big, so you'd have to fold them over on the side and then have your stockings come over them. And you didn't have boots or not even galoshes at that time when I first had them. We had what we called leggings. And it was a piece of cloth that fitted up over your legs and had buttons on the side that you buttoned up. And then we had some kind of galoshes, though, too.
Must have had to.
Yeah.
But people didn't wear jeans or they wore dresses.
Oh,
they didn't wear jeans.
We didn't have anything like that. I never remembered staying home. We bundled up, and I tell you, when I walked into high school, we faced west, and it was pretty cold sometimes too. Especially when you get up by that train track there near into Dundee, and the train would be across the track. Many a time I felt like going between the cars and going across, but I never did. But you'd stand there just practically freeze to death before that train would move. But it seemed like snow was deeper. Maybe it was because we were out in the country and it drifted, and now I'm in town. But my goodness, it would be clear up. You could, if the snow got hard, you could almost walk up over the fence post. It would be so high. But I know it drifted, you know, that was probably it. But, I don't remember ever just staying home at school. I probably wanted to go even if I was sick. And I used to play, go out and play games, pom pom pull away. And Annie I Over. You know what Annie I Over is? Oh, we had like a woodshed garage that was fastened on the back of the school. And we'd have a team on one side and one on the other. And then we'd throw the ball over, and then that side would catch the ball, come over and run and try to hit somebody on this side, and if they did, they'd take them back. And we'd play down in the river, pom-pom pull away. You'd be on one side, and somebody would be it out here, and they'd all be lined up here by the school. And this person would say, pom-pom pull away, come away or we'll pull you away. And then these people would all have to run to get over to the other side, and this one would try to catch it. And if he caught some, then they stayed and helped catch the rest of them. And we also played them. What was that other one we used to play? And of course, it was there any ice?
Fox and ice? Fox and ice in the snow.
Or if there was any ice, of course, we'd slide. You know. And of course, we had to take our lunch to school. We never had much to take in our lunch. I can remember having some sandwiches that I didn't think were so good. Even went to high school, we'd take our lunch a lot. And once in a while, we wouldn't have something. I'd get some money and I could walk uptown. And another friend and I, we'd go uptown. We'd go into the baker shop and buy a bun. Then we'd go into the butcher shop and we'd buy some bologna. And, oh, that tasted so good to me. I can almost taste it yet. And the ice cream parlors, you don't remember that, but we never got to town very often at all, really. And of course you went into town with your basket of eggs, and went to the grocery store, and they'd figure out how much money for your eggs, and you could trade that amount of money out for the groceries you needed. That's how, what money we had. And then my dad would sell milk and get the money. And that was about it, because we didn't have a very good farm or a very good one. We didn't have any money
or anything.
And so I used to have to do that quite often.
But,
what was that? Oh, the candy kitchen, we call it. Ice cream parlor. I had what they call now, you know, these white chairs and tables. And you'd walk in there and it had this vanilla, some kind of smell,
just an ice cream parlor smell. It was just, and Catherine and I, and Mother tells this, I don't really remember it too much, but she'd say we always just, oh, we could just go in and order one of these things.
And so one day, she said it did her so much good. She didn't have anything to eat, but she let us get what we wanted. And one of us got what they call a banana split, which you hear today, and the other one got a mutton chip. This is where they had one bigger scoop of ice cream and one smaller one, you know, mutton chip and all this. And she said, we just thought that was the best ever. She said it did her good to just see how happy and tickled we were to get this. And they used to have a band concert in Dundee on Wednesday night. And once in a while, my dad, we would go in Wednesday night, and what the kids did then, they walked around. The fellows would walk around too, and the girls would walk around. And kind of meet each other. Nobody ever. This was such a great thing. The fellows walking around and meeting with the girls coming around. What was one way to see each other? was that when you were in high school?
Yeah,
oh, probably before I was on the high school. But it was the same way when you had things going on in high school. If you lived as far out as I did, you couldn't stay. Now, sometimes they'd have their football games right after school, and I did stay for some of them, and we walked home. And after, when Catherine went too, and there were two of us, that was better. You know, she was 2 years behind, but even then, you know, when she went, then there were two of us could stay. And then we'd have a school play, and I did get to be in some of the school plays. And I guess maybe I had to come in and get me or something like that. But other than that, you see, nobody, some of the fellows that came from Florida had a car. A few of them older ones still had a car. And I was just talking to Fred Noble's wife, who had a grocery store in Ida. He died just the other year, and I saw his wife a while ago. And she said, and I don't remember, he was in my grade. And she said, well, he always rode the horse to school. I don't remember that, but he probably been parking on the school ground. He probably had some other person left it or something. But he came in from Azalea, which was quite a ways. And she said, he used to rode the horse. She went there to school too, so she probably knew it. So I don't know how other people got there. Probably some that lived closer rode bikes or something.
A lot of people in town,
they had barns instead of garages.
Mm-hmm.
So he probably had a place he left it or something. Sure, you couldn't leave it on the school ground. I wouldn't name that. And probably others, you know, rode a horse in or came in horses.
Mm-hmm.
Her mother or anything like that, because Grandpa Krieger was kind of a mean old German, and he just wouldn't let her keep in contact. I mean, she had a sister that came here too, and if she tried to write a letter, he wouldn't mail it. And, you know, I don't know. He was just mean, I guess. Yes, I don't know too much about her, but see, Grandma was the second oldest, really, of their children, but Grandma Krieger and Grandpa Krieger both had been married before, at least had children before they came here from Germany. So Aunt Marthy and their Uncle Albert were Grandma Krieger's children, and then Grandpa had one son this August, and even that is queer. Uncle Albert was adopted by somebody in Deerfield or Blissfield, and August was kidnapped by Grandpa Krieger's aunt. She came one time and took him, and so then he never came back. He came back and visited once or something. And we don't know too much. So then there was Uncle Will, and then really Grandpa, you know, was the next. And both of them lived to be the oldest, the two oldest ones.
Mm-hmm.
Uncle Will died at 98 and Grandma was 96.
Yeah.
Two oldest. But And Pauline's still living, so I got a chance. She was the youngest. Yeah, she's 93, must be, no? So, well, Aunt Daisy was 80, and Aunt Marcy was in the 80s. Then Uncle Will was...
Well, they were all old enough.
Oh, yeah.
Did I?
Grandpa Credo was in the 80s.